The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Lots of you at this stage will have seen, or maybe you've shared indeed, this image on social media. All eyes on Rafah. It is a picture of what looks to be a refugee camp. There's bundles of aid in the middle of it. And like that, some of the encampments and some of the aid arranged in such a way that it spells out all eyes on Rafah. Stephen O'Leary is with me, the founder of Olitico. Stephen, do we have numbers, scores on the doors in terms of how many people have shared this?
Yeah, and the numbers are really significant. So 43 million stories on Instagram have carried this template in the last 48 hours. And it's not just the sheer volume of them, but it's the accounts that are sharing them. So most notable among them is probably Gigi Hadid, who's got 78 million followers. So when she shares something in her Instagram stories, the potential for tens of millions of people to see it is incredible. And like you say, there's probably countless listeners right now who've seen this not just once in their feed or once within their stories, but almost every other image they share to, because it's almost a call to action. People are being asked to share this, and it has gone incredibly viral over the last 2 days.
Do we know where it has come from?
Yes. So a graphic designer out of Malaysia created this a couple of days ago, or certainly first shared this a couple of days ago. A relatively small account, 25, 30,000 followers, certainly doesn't have a track record of creating viral content, but the image has taken off. And the nature of social networks is such that when it starts to build momentum, the networks are far more likely to serve this content into people's feed. And critically, it's the template function in Instagram that leads to this virality. So the ease with which someone who sees this can simply click template, click share, and suddenly a carbon copy of the image appears on their feed.
It's AI generated, as far as we know, is it? The image, has this Malaysian man kind of clarified how he made it?
There haven't been interviews that I've seen with the original designer yet, but certainly the image has all the hallmarks of having AI as part of its creation.
And I've heard suggestions from some quarters that that as well has lended itself to the kind of virility of the image.
Yeah, well, I guess it's the overall tone. So we know that so much of the imagery coming out of Rafah, most particularly in the last 48 to 72 hours, is harrowing. And a lot of evidence would suggest that people are potentially slow to share this type of imagery, certainly maybe slow to consume it. And I guess what this image has is like a softer tone to it. It's not graphic. It has that element of call to action. And I feel what's different with this is it feels like you can draw attention to something while sharing something that maybe isn't overtly graphic. Now, that's fraught with complications and has its own challenges. But ultimately, if the aim of this was to raise awareness of Rafah, and if you think about the number of people who are both listening in now and possibly sitting around kitchen tables, school tables, office canteens, talking about Rafah, that may never have done so had this piece of content not been published.
There have been accusations as well that the algorithms and the social media companies themselves have been suppressing content. Like, do we know if that's true?
These are rumours, and it's very hard to substantiate. There are always claims and counterclaims when it comes to almost anything political around whether or not the companies in question are actually suppressing or boosting content to do with one side or the other. And generally, that's what you find. If there are sides in something, one side will claim one and the other will claim something else. It is hard to know that definitively, and there isn't really evidence that actually supports this. But what we do know is this piece of content stands out for the sheer, I suppose, kind of breadth of variety it has. As I say, 44 million Instagram stories that have covered this in the last 2 days. And that's just Instagram. This has been all over TikTok. We've seen it on X. It's on Facebook. I mean, each social network is carrying the image.
Yeah, because I was talking to somebody who works in kind of digital content, and they said that what they've noticed is the engagement to reach ratio has kind of been skewed on Rafah content. Now, what does that mean for people listening at home? Quite simply, if 10 people like your image, generally, you know, 100 people might see it. That's kind of a very basic way of describing it. And that's completely changed. It's kind of, if 10 people like it, maybe only 20 people will see it. And I guess that's why some people then accuse the social media companies or the algorithms of suppressing content. Another argument might be that people aren't sharing they might like, they might engage, they might watch, but they might be slower to share the really graphic stuff. And this is awful to acknowledge, they're kind of getting, not bored of it, because that's a terrible way to describe it, but they're getting a little inured to it.
Well, I think sometimes we think about the word fatigued, right? And you like, this is not the only conflict going on, obviously, in the world at the moment. And you only have to look to Ukraine and the decrease in conversation about the Ukrainian conflict over time to know that that is the reality. People will become kind of desensitized or overexposed to certain types of content. So that's a natural thing that we see on social networks, that over time, the interest in things just begins to wane. This stands out as a piece of content like that. And coming back to the idea of that maybe graphic content, the networks also do carry warnings quite often on graphic content.
Yeah.
So they'll warn the user before they post it. Do you want to post this image because this may be in breach of the terms of our network or the things that we allow? And they'll also warn you that the content will carry a graphic content warning. Now, that comes from a good place. There are a lot of people who want to be warned before they click on something that potentially is a graphic image. And as a user, that's a really important thing to do. But it does mean if you're sharing particularly conflict or war zone related content, there's a greater chance that that content won't be served to an audience, because if it carries that warning, people will be slower to click on it.
Okay, that is interesting. Eamon Farrell is with us as well. He's a photojournalist and the editor at rollingnews.ie. Eamon, can you speak to me a little bit about the impact that an image can have in terms of shaping or changing a conversation?
Well, if we're talking about the images that are generated by photojournalists, and when I say generated, like that they're created by photojournalists simply by taking the picture and not interfering with it or altering it in any way. Perhaps one of the best examples is during the Vietnam War, where there was a photograph of, taken by a photojournalist of a picture of a naked young girl running down the street, having been napalm bombed by American forces. Now, that was a graphic image, we might think of it as that, but yet it was an image that had a huge effect on getting the American population to consider, was the Vietnam War a just one? And it, along with other images from Vietnam, had a huge effect on changing the course of the Vietnam War. So images can have a huge impact, but my concern, and I'm not saying this is the case with the image that you're talking about in relation to All Eyes on Gaza, on Rafa. My concern is that if AI leads to a situation whereby people feel they can interfere with a genuine editorial image, well, then that's leading us down a road where people won't believe any image actually reflects the reality of what's happening. And in relation to what your previous speaker was saying, if people, you know, are concerned that the, you know, Instagram and Facebook and that are actually interfering and not allowing real images to be shown, they only have to look at television and you only have to look at the newspapers to see the reality of what's happening in Gaza. They can't be under any illusions. So, you know, I don't know why they think, or they might think that, oh, we're not being shown stuff on these platforms. Well, look at your newspapers, look at TV. You can't be under any illusion that what is happening in Israel is that this is taking place, that people are being slaughtered in a goldfish bowl. That's the reality of it. And, you know, that's the truth, you know.
Is it harder these days, Eamon, for a single image to have the impact that that image had? It was a Panthi Kim Phuc, I think was her name, because I was actually, when we were talking about this earlier, I thought of her as well. I also thought of that awful image of that child in Ethiopia with the vulture in the background, and more recently Alan Kurdi on the beach having washed up trying to flee Syria and make a better life in Europe with his family. All those awful images. But I guess the question is around the fact that everybody has a kind of a camera in their pocket. Does it make it harder? We see so many of those images.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing about the Vietnam War was that for the first time, photojournalists had access, both still photographers and TV camera people, had virtually unrestricted access to the war. And that's why it had such a big effect. But since then, it's not that access has been controlled. It has. But is that, you're right, there is so much imagery available now, and people are lambasted with imagery of every type, including what they take on their own mobile phone. So it's no longer, if you like, you know, in a way, exciting to see images anymore, because people have seen so many images. But that's why it's important that images that do come out must be recognized as being real images that have not been interfered with and not AI generated images. Now, I've no problem with the All Eyes on Afa on Gaza one, because basically whoever that person was found a very, very good way to get the message across. And it may not have been a question that that was an original photograph. It may be a graphic design, which goes on all the time, but it worked. And there's I have absolutely no problem about that. Mm. Picasso did it in relation to Guernica. Like, his imagery, that, you know, huge, huge painting that he took of that reflected the Nazis bombing the city in Spain during the Spanish Civil War, basically, again, had a huge effect. But how he went about it was a different way. Now, for example, just as so happens, I have an image myself in an exhibition that will be opening this Saturday in the Riverbank Arts Centre in Newbridge. And it is not a pure editorial image, and I don't put it forward as that. It's an arts image. Mm. But it's an image in relation to the problem of the refugees at the moment in the country in relation to how they're living in tents and how they can't get any sort of housing. So sometimes, if you need to deviate, but what you need to do is say quite clearly, this is not an editorial image. Yeah. This is an art image, or this is a graphic image, and make it clear.
Stephen, and Eamon is right. I don't think, again, to go back to this Malaysian man who maybe shared it or created it, there doesn't seem to be any attempt to claim this is kind of a reflection of reality. It's quite obviously either kind of AI generated or it's a kind of a piece of graphic design, however you want to describe it. Has that been a feature of the war in Gaza? Doctored images?
I think doctored images are probably a feature for almost every conflict story at the moment. And the reality is that image manipulation, particularly digital image manipulation, is getting probably easier and easier. And we're obviously increasingly hearing about AI as part of that. This does feel different, right? And, you know, if you think about kind of other graphics that have been created, I think, again, something that people probably remember pretty well is like the Obama Hope poster.
Yeah.
If you go back to elections, you know, that is that kind of composite piece, right? It's stylized, it's got a message, but it's a piece of content that went absolutely viral. It attached a message to a point in time piece of political content. Now, this is different. It's a conflict zone, but I don't think it's something where people are looking at it and kind of feeling that's an actual image of the situation.
One other element of this that we probably should acknowledge before we wrap things up is that at a certain point, so many people have shared it that others share it to be seen to be sharing it. You know, and we saw that around kind of Black Lives Matter and after kind of attacks in the Vatican and other places, everybody kind of went French for a while. Everybody went Ukrainian a year ago. And it's not to kind of undermine people's or to question people's kind of commitment to those causes. But there's an element of kind of going with the crowd, isn't there?
There is. But I think one of the really interesting points that the other guest made here was around the idea of just turn on your television or open your newspaper. And I think, look, these are really valid points, but it's also really important to remember that there is a generation, there is a cohort who don't buy newspapers and don't watch TV. And social media is where they get their news. Whether we like that or not, it is the reality for a certain generation. And that means that this content can be very important, because I can guarantee if this is featured in 43 or 44 million stories, if Gigi Hadid has shared this to her 78 million followers, there are going to be people amongst those audiences who don't watch television, they don't read newspapers, and for the first time will be saying, what is Rafah? What's going on in Rafah? What's happening here? And that level of awareness is going to be raised. And I think ultimately that's the power of this graphic and the power of the viral nature of it.
Stephen O'Leary, the founder of Olitico. Eamon Farrell, who's a photojournalist and the editor of rollingnews.ie. Gentlemen, thank you both very, very much for joining me here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.